Entertainers and athletes are destroying the nation, and I'm afraid that's not hyperbole. Hey, everybody, I'm Steve Green. This is Right Angle with Bill Whittle and Scott Opp, brought to you by the paying members of BillWhittle.com. And listen, I wanted to do a show originally this week on all the NFL controversy, but I realized that what we really have is a much broader problem. It's not just athletes taking the knee at national anthem, which is certainly their right, and it's also our right as consumers of sports and entertainment to tune out or boycott the advertisers or whatever we want to do. That's been the American way since before there was even a United States of America. It's what we do. We like to express ourselves. But it goes deeper. This really hit home for me this morning when I ran into a column by Selena Zito that I want to quote some of this for you. She was talking to a resident of Pittsburgh, and of course that whole region has been just decimated over the last 40 years with the collapse of labor in the steel industry. And here's what Selena wrote in her story. By the way, if you don't know Selena Zito, she's an amazing reporter. You need to start following her right away. But she wrote, "The Steelers are," she's quoting somebody, "the Steelers are who we look to as an example of achievement in the face of adversity. They were the ones who brought families and friends together every Sunday. They symbolized all that is good in us, and it is hard to imagine a city in this country whose heart and soul is not more identified with their team than Pittsburghers are with the Steelers." But he then went on to say that after they took the knee on Sunday, that Pittsburgh, which has really held its identity together over the last 35, 40 years with their football team, that's all been taken away from them. Scott, I have to ask you, do these lefty entertainers, do these left-wing athletes, do they really understand what it is they're destroying? Because I have to believe that if they really understood that they are the ones who are going to lose the biggest in all this, that they choose another course, or am I dreaming?
I'm not sure they understand what they're destroying. I'm not even sure they understand what they're protesting or what they hope will come of it.
That is a question, isn't it? This week was Donald Trump. Last week it was Black Lives Matter. And nobody seems to have a real statement about what their statement is.
So I like to take people at face value. So instead of saying, no, this is just a lefty attack on Donald Trump, it's anything that the left can do to nullify or delegitimize the presidency of President Trump, I want to take it at face value and say, let's say the reason why the protest is because there are people in the NFL and elsewhere who are legitimately upset that there are young black men being shot down in the city and that the guy holding the gun is sometimes a police officer. Now, of course, there are lots more young black men being shot down in the city, and typically at the other end of the, squeezing the trigger on that one is another young black man. But that's not what we're protesting. We're actually protesting the possibility that police officers either intentionally are on the hunt or they're just not adequately sensitive enough to take proper precautions to avoid shooting young black men. So I'm just kind of looking at the end game of this, because some people have made a comparison with the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King and his civil rights protests, and they basically said this is like Selma. And other people say, oh, that's an outrage. This isn't like Selma. Well, I guess it could be like Selma. But did I have any question about what the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King was looking for? What did he want to see happen? And I think he had a very clear agenda of what he wanted to see happen. He didn't want to just, espouse some discontent. He wanted to see that Civil Rights Act passed. He wanted to see that government-sanctioned discrimination come to an end. Now, the question is, what do we want from this protest? And I think somebody needs to stand up and clarify that, because I'm all for nonviolent protest. Do whatever you want for nonviolent protest. And I get to choose whether or not I want to watch such a thing. I mean, we can always tune in 5 minutes late for the game and miss that whole thing if we want to. But I think if you're going to protest, you've got to give people a signal as to what you think the better tomorrow would look like.
Yeah, and speaking of entertainers tearing things up, it was singer-songwriter John Legend who made the comparison to Selma. And I'm sorry, but if you're comparing the protesters at Selma, who are poor and oppressed, with multi-million-dollar football stars preening for the benefit of multi-billion-dollar media companies, you're an idiot.
Well,
go
Steve,
back to the piano, John.
In fairness, Steve, I mean, he was there. John Legend wrote the theme music to the movie Selma.
Oh, well, and I'm sure he took home a very hefty paycheck for that. Listen, Bill, I've got to preface this one with just a quick reminder of who Barack Obama was. He was a community organizer. That is, his job was to politicize everything he touched. That's how he came into political being. But it's gotten so bad that he said in a speech in New York City just a couple of days ago, our big problem right now is politics. Can't even get it out of football. So let me ask you, Bill, isn't that rich coming from Barack Obama?
Did he really say that?
Is that real?
He really said that.
That's
he
what I was
really
gonna say.
Said that. Chutzpah is the word maybe you're looking for.
Well, okay.
This is as close to speechless as I've ever seen Bill.
I always knew he was clueless, or shameless, or both. Let's just put aside for a moment the fact that in 1996, total number of black homicides were committed by police officers were 4% of the total, and that's total. That's not unarmed people. That's in gunfights. Police are 25 times more likely to be shot than their assailants are. So let's just put aside the fact that this epidemic that everybody's talking about is not an epidemic at all. And even if every single one of those 4% of the policemen who did the shooting had shot somebody in cold blood, you'd still have a movement that's trying to get rid of 4% of the problem while leaving 96% of the problem not only unchallenged but unnamed. So let's just put that aside for a minute. The politicization of everything is why this country's coming apart, and this is just another example of it. And imagine my surprise, to find out it's coming from the left wing, from the far progressive left, and one of their giant causes. Scott was talking about whether the football players know about what's going on. No, they don't have any idea what these statistics are. They know that there were 8-year-old kids in third grade in Pee Wee football took a knee a couple weeks ago. Do those kids really understand what's going on? No, they know what other people are thinking and saying. This is virtue signaling for athletes. It's the same thing as driving your Prius with a Free Tibet thing on there. And you know, whether or not they get that or not is none of my business. They have the freedom to protest whatever they want to. My personal feeling on what's a fair mix about this would be this. If an individual football player really feels that this is enough of a problem, wants to get out there and do a press conference, if the entire team wants to do a press conference in civilian clothes outside of the stadium, then that's their business, and we have a choice of watching it or not watching it. But I think that if you are doing this during a football game, I agree with the president on this. I think you should be fired. And I think you should be fired for the same reason that if you had a company, a dentist's office, let's say, and your receptionist said to everybody who comes in the door, oh, welcome back, fatso, or hey, you managed to, you know, what are you going to do about that mole? You ever forget your teeth? You ever going to get that taken care of? You would fire that person, and you'd be right to fire that person because that person is harming your business with their personal attitude. And that's where I think the balance is. We're not saying you don't have the right to protest this, but we don't want it on the football field. Now, it's already happened. Hang on a second, Scotty. It's already happened, and the NFL and the teams are paying the price for this, and they'll continue to pay the price for it. And once again, I have to ask myself why CNN and the NFL have decided to side with far-left progressives who use football as the most demeaning term possible for Americans and basically offend every single patriotic American who shows up at a football game and has American flags and team flags and is tailgating and all the rest. This is their decision. This is their bed, and now they have to sleep in it.
Oh, boy.
Scotty had something he wanted to say.
Scott, I'm sorry. Yeah, please.
Well, I was just going to say two things. Number one, I think neither President Trump nor the players who were taking a knee during the national anthem understand who he is. And the reason I say that is because I don't think President Trump understands that he's president of the United States. It's one thing for average Joe guy or political commentator Bill Whittle or Scott Ott to stand up and say, you know what, I think that those SOBs ought to be fired if they won't do that. But Donald Trump is president of the United States. Somebody needs to be standing next to him at all times. You know, the old thing where they said the emperor should have a guy standing next to him saying, you know, fame is fleeting or power is fleeting or whatever. Donald Trump needs somebody standing next to him all the time going, you're president of the United States. You are president of the United States. Learn a little decorum in how you express your, you're not just an average guy mouthing off. Now, to flip that completely around, I don't think that the players understand that he's just the president of the United States.
Yes.
So I think it's, you know, from both respects, he needs to shut up about stuff that is outside the scope of his job. And they need to realize that it's outside the scope of his job. And so when he mouths off about what he thinks football players ought to do, they ought to treat it just like they do that drunk guy in the third row who yells at him and throws a beer at him as they're going through the tunnel.
Well, let me respond. I don't want to go to the third grade argument of you started it, but they started it.
It's true.
I don't remember anybody standing behind Barack Obama's shoulder when he talked about Republicans and bringing a gun to a knife fight and you lost the election. And forget all the things he said in public, all of the political things in terms of weaponizing IRS and the CIA and the NSA and all of these against conservatives. So,
but Bill, you can't make the, hey, Obama did it argument. This is our guy.
No, you can. You can. And the reason
you can.
No, the reason you can and do is because Donald Trump is a direct result of Barack Obama.
Yeah, he's the symptom, not the disease.
Donald Trump is here because of Barack Obama and because of the politicization of everything. Donald Trump didn't start politicizing everything. It wasn't didn't happen on his watch. We know whose watch it did happen on. And I'm just saying this is what you get.
And so therefore he can't shut up.
That's why he was hired, Scott. That's why he got the job.
I buy that.
That's why I gave him the job.
Yeah,
I gave him the job because somebody's going to speak out against this anti-Americanism, and Hillary Clinton wouldn't. Hillary Clinton would be taking a knee in the Rose Garden.
But I want him speaking out against anti-constitutionalism within the context of his constitutional role, not against anti-Americanism wherever it raises its ugly head. What good does that do?
Well, it's his... You said he's just the president of the United States, so he's just giving you his personal opinion.
I love
it. Which I happen to share.
All right.
It was a self-defeating argument when I made it.
And Donald Trump is the equal and opposite reaction to Barack Obama. And I'm not talking about skin color here. I'm talking about the folks who felt dispossessed by 8 years of having the federal government wage war against them.
And 40 years of being Gentleman Jim, you know, with the Marquis de Queensbury rules, they're knifing you in the back.
Now, the point of this whole segment originally, before I lost control to Bill and Scott, was this idea that the entertainment industry is that includes sports, is just tearing the country apart. But, you know, we've done better. I was thinking back yesterday when we were recording our backstage segment that it was almost 40 years ago now that Michael Jackson and producer Quincy Jones got together, and they had one goal in mind. This was back in the days when there were black radio stations and there were white radio stations, and you didn't get a whole lot of intermingling of music between the two. And they set out to make an album that would get played equally on both black and white radio stations. And the album they ended up coming up with was called Thriller. You might have heard of it. I believe they sold something like 33 million copies just in the U.S. It was huge. It was a phenomenon. You know, they brought Eddie Van Halen on board for the Beat It guitar lead. They brought Paul McCartney on board for this thing. And I think we can all agree that Paul McCartney is the whitest white man who has ever lived in any country. And what they did was they actually brought the country together in some small way through entertainment. So we have done better, and we can do better again. We've just got to start shopping around for better entertainers who unite us instead of divide us. And that's the right angle on that. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.